KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
It's cloudy, windy, and 32 degrees, but it feels like 19 degrees when you factor in the winds out of the northwest at around 25 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Myron Gross Real Estate and Atlantic. Call 243-4100. There is a wind advisory in effect for Cass and some area counties until noon. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today with a high around 33 and winds diminishing later this afternoon. In the news, the Cass County Board of Supervisors will hold their last meeting of the month beginning this morning at 9 o'clock in their boardroom at the Cass County Courthouse. On their agenda is an annual report and request for continued matched funding from West Central Community Action. The board will also act on approving an employment agreement for a temporary county engineer. Last week, they discussed with retired Cass County engineer Charles Marker the possibility of his returning on an interim hourly basis as needed to fulfill the duties of a professional engineer. Marker and the board held off on agreeing on a contract at the last week because both sides wanted to explore the impact of IPERS and Social Security on his current retirement package. The board will also hear a report for the month of October from the Cass County Mental Health and General Relief Coordinator and, if available, from the Cass County Attorney. The Creston Police Department reports this morning the arrest at around 1:30 p.m. Tuesday of 34-year-old Samantha Hayes of Creston. Hayes was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Union County warrant for violation of a protection order. She was subsequently released on a promise to appear in court. A woman from Creston complained of pain following a rollover accident Monday afternoon in Union County. The sheriff's office yesterday said 44-year-old Alicia Peckham was driving a 2009 GMC pickup northbound on Kingfisher Avenue at around 12:30 p.m. Monday when a deer jumped out onto the road. When Peckham swerved to avoid hitting the animal, the pickup went into the west ditch down an embankment and through a fence before coming to rest on its driver's side. Peckham was wearing her seatbelt but suffered unknown possible injuries and was transported to the Creston Hospital. Her pickup sustained an estimated $5,000 damage. Damage to the fence owned by Tony Allen of Shannon City amounted to about $200. The Mills County Sheriff's Office yesterday reported four recent arrests. On Monday, 39-year-old Samantha Ann Brophy of Council Bluffs was arrested at the Douglas County, Nebraska jail on a warrant for second-degree theft. Her bond was set at $5,000. Early Sunday morning, 31-year-old Ashley Marie Shuck of Elkhorn, Nebraska was arrested for public intoxication in open container. And 29-year-old Alana Rayanne Schmidt of Omaha was arrested for OWI first offense in open container. And then last Thursday, 19-year-old Mariah Marie Pearson of Council Bluffs was arrested at the Pottawatomie County Jail on a Mills County warrant for violation of probation. Her bond was set at $5,000. An attorney for a second patient at a program for Iowa's most dangerous sex offenders is accusing its former treatment director of encouraging an improperly close relationship. Attorney Jack Dunn said Tuesday that he's representing Daniel Rowe, a convicted rapist who is a patient at the Civil Commitment Unit for Sex Offenders in Cherokee. He says Rowe fell in love with Shannon Sanders, an unlicensed psychologist who was the program's treatment director until this past September. Rowe is alleging that Sanders encouraged those feelings during treatment, including allowing him to write sexually explicit stories that featured a character based on her. Dunn says that Rowe felt victimized. Dunn also represents sex offender Jeffrey Goodwin, who has alleged that he was willing to kill for Sanders. He said he intends to file suit on their behalf. The Iowa Department of Human Services forced Sanders to resign in September after an investigation found that she violated numerous policies. The Cherokee Police Department is also investigating. Sioux City officials have repealed an 11-year-old ban on pit bull ownership, saying a city ordinance is unfair and unlikely and rather unlikely to defend against court challenges. The Sioux City Journal reports the city council voted 4-1 Monday to overturn the ban effective this Saturday. The ban adopted in 2008 prohibited residents from keeping dogs that are 51% or more pit bull. Those who owned dogs before April of 2009 could keep them if they were registered each year. The ban was spurred by concerns the dogs were inherently vicious, but pit bull advocates argued each animal should be judged independently. City lawyers recommended the council adopt a breed-neutral ordinance. Well, it's happened again this year.
Long-standing Thanksgiving tradition, and that's the Iowa Turkey Federation annual turkey pardoning.
That's Governor Kim Reynolds. Two male turkeys and about two dozen humans gathered outside the governor's mansion in Des Moines for the Tuesday event.
These two toms that are behind us right here, and their colors are great, were named in honor of Benjamin Franklin, who recognized the importance of turkey to society early in our nation's history.
Franklin was not a fan of the bald eagle and wrote to a letter in his daughter in 1784 extolling the virtues of turkeys. Benjamin and Franklin literally ruffled their fenders, feathers, that is, on the Terrace Hill lawn Tuesday morning as the Iowa Turkey Federation President Lynn Schaible talked about their trip.
They are about 20 weeks old, and this morning they came from Storm Lake, Iowa, so they've had a pretty big day.
The two Tom turkeys are among the 12 million turkeys that will be raised in Iowa this year. Most turkey processed in the state is sliced and goes to the deli counter for sandwiches. The governor has given Benjamin and Franklin what appears to be a temporary reprieve from a similar fate.
They are free to roam on Thanksgiving Day.
And the birds responded with a few gobbles, and one of the turkeys even gave the governor a very strong nudge as the turkeys were swarmed for a photo session. Tens of thousands of Iowans will sit down to a traditional turkey dinner tomorrow, and the odds are good the birds were raised nearby and likely within the state's borders. Greta Irwin, executive director of the Iowa Turkey Federation, says the state has seen an increase in turkey producers in recent years. Iowa now has 130 turkey farms, with the majority of them comprised of second and third generation turkey farmers.
We have been in the top 10 for many years, and we have been number 8 for a lot of years, but we are now currently number 7 in turkey production in the U.S. That change has happened because of adding more family farms to our business, so we've seen a lot more families raising turkeys, especially in northwest Iowa.
The southeast and central regions of Iowa are also big on turkey production. In addition, Iowa is a national leader in turkey processing, now ranking 5th in the country.
Processors in Iowa are busy all year long making further processed turkey products. So if you go into a Subway, you go into a Jimmy John's and order a turkey sandwich, that's Iowa turkey. You go into the grocery store and buy a lot of the turkey sausages and those convenient products. Those are likely to come from Iowa as well.
And while most of us will be thinking about big turkey dinners over the next few days in particular, Irwin says turkey is big business 365 days a year. Iowa's turkey farms raise about 12 million birds every year. And she says turkeys are indigenous to the continent. Fossils have proven wild turkeys have lived in North America for more than 10 million years. The news was brought to you by Myron Gross Real Estate. For a great quality service, give Myron Gross Real Estate a call at 243-4100 or stop by 621 Poplar Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.